breaking out of the confines and expectations of my suburban Virginia wonderbread existence. No. Now my reflection bears the chipped teeth of a weathered smile, cracked and shortened from years of microphones grinding their delicate enamel away. I see the heavy bags beneath my hooded eyes from decades of jet lag, of sacrificing sleep for another precious hour of life. I see the patches of white within my beard, and I'm thankful for all of it. Years ago, I was asked to perform at the 12-12-12 Hurricane Sandy Relief Concert in New York City. Held at Madison Square Garden, it featured the Mount Rushmore of rock and roll lineups. McCartney, The Rolling Stones, The Who, Roger Waters, and countless other household names. At one point, I was approached by a promoter who asked if I'd join some of these most iconic artists in the green room to take photos with some fans who donated large sums of money to the cause. Honored to be involved, I happily obliged and made my way through the maze of backstage corridors, imagining a room full of rock and roll history all standing in an elementary school photo formation, nothing but leather jackets and British accents. As I entered, I was surprised to find only two of the performers standing at opposite ends of the space. One had the shiny appearance of a brand new luxury car, perfectly dyed hair, spray tan, and a recently refurbished smile that had the look of a fresh box of Chiclets, an obvious attempt at fending off the aging process, which ultimately had the adverse effect, giving the appearance of an old wall with too many layers of paint. The other had the appearance of a vintage, burned-out hot rod. Wiry gray hair, deep lines carved into a scowl, teeth that could have belonged to George Washington, and a black t-shirt that hugged a barrel-chested frame so tightly, you immediately knew that this was someone who did not give one flying fuck. Epiphany may seem cliche, but in a flash, I saw my future. I decided right there and then that I would become the latter, that I would celebrate the ensuing years by embracing the toll they'd take on me, that I would aspire to become the rusted-out hot rod, no matter how many jump starts I might require along the way. Not everything needs a shine, after all. If you leave a Pelham Blue Gibson Trini Lopez guitar in the case for 50 years, it'll look like it was just delivered from the factory. But if you take it in your hands, show it to the sun, let it breathe, sweat on it, and fucking play it, over time the finish will turn a unique shade. And each instrument ages entirely differently. To me, that is beauty. Not the gleam of prefabricated perfection, but the road-worn beauty of individuality, time, and wisdom. Miraculously, my memory has remained relatively intact. Since I was a child, I've always measured my life in musical increments rather than months or years. My mind faithfully relies on songs, albums, and bands to remember a particular time and place. From 70s AM radio to every microphone I've stood before, I could tell you who, what, where, and when from the first few notes of any song that has crept from a speaker to my soul, or from my soul to your speakers. Some people's reminiscence is triggered by taste. Some people's by sight or smell. Mine is triggered by sound, playing like an unfinished mixtape waiting to be sent. Though I've never been one to collect stuff, I do collect moments. So in that respect, my life flashes before my eyes and through my ears every single day. In this book, I've captured some of them as best I can. These memories from all over my life are full of music, of course, and they can be loud at times. Turn it up. Listen with me.
I say turn it up! Turn it up!
Part one, setting the scene. DNA doesn't lie. Dad, I want to learn how to play the drums. I knew this was coming. There stood my 8-year-old daughter, Harper, staring at me with her big brown eyes like Cindy Lou Who from How the Grinch Stole Christmas, nervously holding a pair of my splintered drumsticks in her tiny.